So let's begin. So so last week on Friday, I think it was last week, maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, I don't know. I think, like everyone else, I've a bit lost track of time. My schedule is a bit thrown. But I ran into to Rabbi Jeff Sachs around Efrat, and he asked me if I had any thoughts on the current experience, and asked me if I would weigh in for the tradition blog. So I sat down to try to put together some thoughts. And the truth is that my thoughts were a bit different, I think, than some others. And I don't want to talk directly about the coronavirus. I feel like one of my friends said that he tries to go on YU Torah. He has so much free time he can learn, but he feels like it's dafyomi in coronavirus because every shiur is directly related to the nature of disease. And all people want at this point is to sort of take their minds off of it. So I do want to talk about it slightly, but from a different angle. So a topic that I've been working on for a few years, and I wrote a series on it last year for the virtual Beit Midrash, is how halacha has been affected by social media and by mass communication and things like, well, Zoom and Skype and every other means that we have to communicate with people and stay connected, even when we're not in person. And what I found in the last few days is that some of the thoughts that I'd formulated or had doubts about or I'd thrown out as possibilities in my head have solidified as we've basically had a mass wide world experiment in what our lives would look like if our social connections were reduced exclusively to these means. I know the shutdown is not as intense in Toronto as it is in Israel, but in Israel at this point, we are the suggestion is to not leave your house except for buying food, helping elderly people who can't go out to shop for themselves, going to the doctor, and essential people at work, and otherwise they suggest you don't go out of the house unless you maybe go out in groups of one or two and keep a 6-foot distance to go for a walk to keep yourself sane. And now they've started to impose these restrictions with the police, so it does feel quite isolating. Even creative attempts at seeing people in person have been shut down. On Friday, Oded Revivi, who's like the mayor of Efrat, suggested that we all have Kabbalat Shabbat outside in our own backyards and porches, so at least we'd feel together, and then canceled it 10 minutes later when someone from Shari Tzedek claimed that the rain droplets could capture the COVID-19 virus and spread it around Efrat, which I really am not sure if that's possible. I see my parents are on. Maybe my mother can weigh in on whether that is possible, but my mother is shaking her head. I'm not really sure if that's likely. But what I want to talk about specifically is how does halakha define friendship, and can we perhaps get some insight into our current in-person isolation connection through various forms of technology? What might halakha have to say about this? And specifically, I want to focus on whether we've gained some insights from the last few weeks about this halakha. So for me, the place that halakha really talks about this is in Hilchot Brachot. Because if there's any area of halakha in which halakha tries to capture human experience and shape human experience, it's the laws of Brachot. Right? We have Brachot, not just the ones that we say on a daily basis, not those that are part of tefillah, not just those that we say on foods, but those that we say on experiences. Right? It seems like a forever ago, but through about 4 weeks ago, I went with my yeshiva. We went to Switzerland for 3 days to CERN, and as we passed over the Alps, I told my students that it was a perfect time to say Oseh Maaseh Breishit, which is a bracha that we say on the grandeur of God's creation. And I explained to them that halacha wants us to both recognize the power in these experiences and find religious ways of capturing it. And halacha actually has a set of two brachot that are aimed specifically at capturing and defining and responding to the nature of friendship. And these are the brachot that are recorded in brachot Nunchet Amud Bet 58b of Shechayanu, which we know from other contexts that we say on holidays and with new fruit and new clothes. God who has given us life and brought us to this time. And the bracha of Mechaye Hametim, who has brought the dead back to life, who's resurrected the dead. So I'll pull up the Gemara here on the screen. One second, I'll do share screen. Can I do that? Because I'm not the...
Yes, you can.
There we go. Share screen. Here we go. Share. Okay, let's make this bigger. And... why is it not letting me... yeah, there we go. Okay, is this big enough? Bigger? Bigger? Okay. Okay, so let's read the Gemara together. So, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Haroat chaviro lachar shloshim yom, Omer baruch shecheyanu v'kiyemanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. Right, one who sees his friend after 30 days have passed since last seeing him recites, blessed who has given us life, sustained us, and brought us to this time. La'achar yud beit chodesh, if someone sees his friend after 12 months, Omer baruch mechayei hameitim. He said, blessed is he who resurrects the dead. Why 12 months? So Omer Rav, Ein hameit mishtakech min halev, el la'achar shneim asar chodesh, shneamar nishkach di kemeit milev, ayiti kichli oved. Because it says, I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind, I'm like a lost vessel. From which we see that after a year, essentially, people are forgotten. So, what exactly are the nature of these brachot? So, at first glance, it sounds like the bracha of Shecheyanu is, as we know it from other areas of halacha, it's a bracha on the experience of joy. And therefore, what the Gemara is telling you is that if you have a friend who you see and you feel joy because you haven't seen them in a month, which is the normal period of time in which we say that you need to sort of feel new either joy or sadness, right? The same thing is true. If you haven't seen the kotel in 30 days, so then you tear kriya, then you tear in mourning. But if you see it regularly, so we assume that you don't see that new pang, you don't feel that new pang of pain each time, and therefore you don't tear again. So the same thing is true here. If you see a friend who you haven't seen in 30 days, so then we have a bracha to capture that experience of Shecheyanu, that God has brought us to this moment. If you haven't seen each other in 12 months, so then you say, Mechaye Yameitim, he brings the dead back to life. Now what is the nature of that bracha? So at first glance, it sounds like that bracha is less about joy and more about information. Meaning, in the ancient world, when people couldn't communicate, at least not instantly, if you hadn't seen someone in a few weeks, in a few months, you had an actual doubt as to whether they were still well. Especially if they lived overseas. At best, you might see them every few years, and things were dangerous, and people were traveling, and illness was rampant without modern medicine. So after 12 months, you had this doubt lingering in the back of your mind that the person might be dead. And therefore, if you see them again, so halacha says that you say mechayei hametim because at some level you are now assured or you experience it as if they've come back to life. However, the Rajba notes in a tshuva in that we have to be careful because you would say, theoretically, that if the second bracha of Mechayei Hametim was purely about experience, was purely about knowledge, about knowing that someone's alive and therefore feeling as if they've been brought back to life, so then what would be the moment at which you feel most like someone comes back to life when you meet someone for the first time? I didn't know you. Right, you literally did not exist in my consciousness. And here I am, I'm meeting you. It's as if you've come into existence for the first time. So why don't you make Mechaya Meitim? So the Rajba notes that it's clear that you don't in that case, because even the bracha of Mechaye HaMeitim is predicated at a certain level on this reality of joy and friendship of a pre-existing relationship, right? It's not about, I meet somebody new, and therefore I say, oh, it's as if you're born anew to me. If someone is my friend, and we had a connection, and then we lost touch, and in the back of my mind, I had the possibility that the person was no longer around, and I see them, so I know that our relationship can continue. So then I say the bracha. So the Rajba's insight already tells us that the gap between these two brachot is not complete. Both of them are predicated on pre-existing friendships, and there are different ways that we respond to friendship. Shechayanu is the joy of seeing a friend after a month apart. Tchiyat HaMeitim is the bracha that we say to thank God that our friends we haven't seen in a year have continued to live, that they're still healthy. And we thank God for that reality. Now, as Tosfot notes I have over here, this is not just an acquaintance, this is a friend. This has to be a friend, because the point here is joy, right? It's capturing the joy of feeling friendship, and that doesn't happen with a mere acquaintance. And a mere acquaintance, you see them for the first time in a year or 2 years, you'll say hello, you'll ask how you're doing, but there isn't an excitement, right? You don't say, oh, it's so great to see you, really, we should catch up, let's meet for coffee and extend this meeting. Right now, a casual acquaintance, you see them, you say hello, how are you? And then it's very nice, but you move on. It doesn't have a deep enough level of happiness and joy as a friend. Okay. So it's true. Both of these brachot fundamentally exist on the backdrop of friendship. But still, there seems to be a fundamental difference between these brachot. The bracha of Shechayanu is primarily about the experience of joy. And we know that because this bracha is not said only when you see friends for the first time. It's a bracha that we say routinely. It's a bracha we say every time, as I said. You'll say it on the first day of Pesach, which, terrifyingly enough, is coming up. You'll say it when you buy new clothes, when you have a new fruit, a seasonal fruit. It captures many different types of joyous experiences. And if we think about when we say it, we know that, right? If you're singing it the first night of Hanukkah, right? We have these moments in our mind of Shechayanu. And it's fundamentally a bracha about experience, about human experience of joy. One aspect of that is friendship. Mechaya Meitim, though, that's debatable. Because as I said, the simple understanding is that it's about less about the experience, even if it is predicated on friendship, but it's more about knowledge, about information. In a world when people were not connected, so they really didn't know if someone was alive. So after 12 months, they learned something new. Oh, I didn't know you were okay. I see you. Mechaye HaMeitim. Now it's true that Mechaye HaMeitim is also sometimes about experience. The Yerushalmi actually writes that if someone is walking amongst the graves, so then, walking amongst graves, he says Mechaye HaMeitim as well, which seems to be some sort of tefillah. And obviously we say it in Shmona Esrei every day, a version, an extended version of it. But still, fundamentally, the feeling you get in the Gemara is that this bracha is an information-based halacha. So what happens to these two brachot in a world in which suddenly, communication is instant, and as we're doing right now, I can give here, 6,000 miles away from the comfort of my home, I can see your faces. I know you're okay. So how does that shape, how does that affect these brachot? So this all begins with a tshuva of Rav Yaakov Chagiz in the Halacha Ktana. So he was asked this question. And he writes as follows. Let me pull it up here. Sorry, I don't have a translation on it, but we'll read through it. It's very short. Here, number 6. She'ela. Chaveiro she'ra'uhu v'halach min ha'ir u'vitok shloshim kibel mimenu k'tav im yomar she'echeyanu kishiavo v'chein mechaya mitim. If you have a friend who you haven't seen in 30 days, but you've gotten a letter from them that they're okay, or an email, or a text, or a WhatsApp, or a Facebook post, or you talked to them on Zoom 5 minutes ago and you know they're alive, right? Or FaceTime, or take your pick. We have so many, right? And if one crashes, we have another. Or someone just told you he's okay. Do you still make these brachot? So he says, tshuva. Efshar d'mechaye meitim lo yomar. It could be that mechaye meitim you don't say. De'en kan nishkachti kemit milev. Because he hasn't been forgotten. He isn't gone from your memory. Aval shechayanu shehu al riyata panim yomar. But shechayanu, which is about seeing someone's face, you would still say. So the halacha k'tanot Yaakov Chagiz seems to draw a distinction. And he says, look, mechaya meitim, you don't say. Why not? So you can read him in two ways. One is to say that fundamentally, there's no doubt that someone is alive if you've been in contact. Alternatively, you could say that the experience of mechaya meitim, of feeling like someone's come back to life, you just don't have that if you know they're alive. Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz himself seems to take the second possibility. But other poskim, like the Aruch HaShulchan, take the first possibility. And if you look here, I'll just read the English. He says, the reason is that Shechayanu is about the joy of seeing someone face to face. But Mechayim Meitim is because now it is known that he is alive. Therefore, since he already knows that he is alive through letters or heard from people that he's alive, it is no longer relevant to say Mechayei Ameitim. The Aruch HaShulchan phrases the distinction differently than Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz himself. And he says, listen, let me explain. Tchiyana Meitim, the Bracha Mechayei Ameitim, is fundamentally information based. Did I really have a doubt that the person was well, was alive? If I did, so then I'd say the Bracha Mechayim Eitim when I discover that lo and behold, they're alive. In a world where we're connected, even through letters, or even just a friend told me, you know, you have regards from such and such, I know they're fine. I know they're fine. So I can't in good faith say, oh, I thought they were not around. I thought they were not okay. But they really are okay. Let me give thanks to God. You know they're fine. And therefore, you can't make the bracha. But Shechayanu is not like that. Shechayanu is about joy. It's about the experience of seeing someone face to face. And therefore, you can say the bracha even if you've been in contact. Right? Even if you've been in contact. Now, despite that distinction, not everyone bought this. The Mishnah Berurah, for example, equated Shechayanu and Mechaya Meitim. And he writes, V'im kibel. Oh, I see I have chats. 1 second. Let me check chats. Okay. Can people see beyond source 4 now? That was one question. Let me...
No.
David, no? Really?
I see it's on 3 on my screen. It goes only to number 3.
Oh, okay. Let me.
Imagine everybody's slightly different, but.
Okay, I'm sharing the screen.
Probably scroll down a little bit. Maybe make it a little smaller and scroll down a bit.
Okay, I'll try to fix that in a second. Let me deal with the other questions. Miriam's question, I'm going to come back to in a minute. Okay, we're going to get to that. But we do see people face to face. Good. We'll hold that thought. Okay, so let me first try to solve the technical problem here. Here, I'll do this. I'll stop share. And let me try. I'll share again and see what happens. Share it anew. How about now?
Yeah, now we get 4, 5, and 6.
Okay,
that's
good.
What I see.
Okay, good. Okay, so I've solved the technical problem. Okay, so the Mishnah Brura equates the two. And he says, if one received a letter, or people told him his well-being, there are various opinions in the Achronim, and we're leaning in the case of doubtful blessings, right? He says this, but he says this seemingly by both. And if you look at number 6, the Orchot Rabbeinu, this is from the Stipler, from Rav Kanievsky, not Rav Chaim Kanievsky, his father, Israel Yaakov Kanievsky. Yaakov Israel, Israel Yaakov. Israel Yaakov, I think. And he goes even farther. And he says that it's not just if you heard that someone's okay, you don't make Mechaya Meitim, or even Shechayanu. He says even negative knowledge, so to speak, works. Meaning, you know, I'm still on all the Toronto lists. On the Bayit, on Clinton Park, on the Beit Midrash, on Mizrahi. Whenever anybody passes away, Rachman Alitzlan, I get an email. So the Stipler says that even if I haven't heard from somebody, I don't say Mechayim Meitim. Because if someone, God forbid, had died, I would have found out. Someone would have sent me an email. I would have got a condolence email. I literally get, you know, anyone who ever graduated YU Smicha, we get condolences from anybody who ever had Smicha. So, you know, I'll see that someone's parent passed away who was in the Smicha class of 1953, which means that their parents are, you know, lived the Baruch Hashem. They lived a very, very long life. If anyone in any way in my circle had passed away, I would have found out. So the Stipler says that even if I haven't heard anything, the fact that I haven't heard anything means I don't make the bracha Mechayim Meitim. And he thinks even Shecheyan. Now there are some exceptions, right? The poskim write that in a case when you haven't heard from someone and there was in fact a doubt as to their well-being, so that even the bracha Mechayim Meitim you would say, and this is in the Shaar Tzion, where the Shaar Tzion says that if you heard that someone was sick and then he saw him healthy, it makes sense that you should say Shechayanu, Mechayim Meitim, for the joy is even greater than if you didn't hear from someone, right? I mean, if you heard from someone, you knew they were sick, so then you'd make the bracha. The Shevet Alevi says the same thing is true of people who go to battle and the like. But fundamentally, right, you have this divide. You have the Aruch HaShulchan camp, let's say, who says that Mechayim Meitim is information-based. If I know that someone's okay, directly, maybe even indirectly, by right evidence of lack of hearing that something bad is happening, so then I make the bracha. But Shechayanu is about the experience of friendship. And therefore, I still say it even if I've heard from them. On the other hand, the Mishnah Brura says, no, even the joy of seeing someone after 30 days when you've been in contact seems to be diminished. And therefore, you don't say Shechayanu. Now, let me go back to these comments here. Now, as Miriam commented, I don't have last names, I don't know which Miriam that was. But as Miriam commented, let's move to the 21st century. Okay? Because now we can sharpen the question, and we can say the following. Let's say that we really, paskin like the Aruch HaShulchan, that we think that there's a difference between getting a letter from someone and knowing that they're alive and seeing them face to face. And therefore, we would think that in the time of Yaakov Chagiz, or in the time of the Aruch HaShulchan for that matter, which is not so long ago, he died in the early 20th century, you would still say Sheikh Hayyan. Okay, but now things are even more intense. Like now, we don't just talk to our friends, we don't just write letters, we don't just send regards, but we can FaceTime. And we can Zoom, and we can Skype. You know, I was talking with my students, and it made me feel old, which, you know, was weird. But I, you know, I told them that I remember when the first Spy Kids came out, when I was a kid. Now there's, like, many others that came out when they were kids. But the first one came out. So it was about these kids who are, like, international spies and have amazing technology. And what was the amazing technology they had? That they had phones where they could video chat with people. That was the amazing technology, right? And now, you know, I'm talking to, I don't even know how many of you I'm talking to, right? And I see your faces, right? It's not even novel anymore. You know, it's like, it takes over our life, right? Turchiner sent me an email before Shabbos, wishing me a Zoom-free Shabbos, right? Like, it's just, like, our life is overtaken by this technology. It's just, it's like, we see people all the time. And it's not even that, right? We have, like, virtual reality. And, you know, I'm sure it's, if it doesn't already exist, it will soon, where they combine virtual reality with Zoom and Skype and whatever. And, you know, you'll feel like you're in the same room with people in real time. I feel like it must exist. But if it doesn't, it will. I don't know. So what about now? Right, so what about now? Do we still say that there's a difference to the joy that you feel in person than when you've been in contact through, take your pick, of technological means? So I remember, so I started giving these shiurim in Toronto, and I've given them in different cities over the last few years. I gave it both in Toronto when I lived there, and then when I came back last year, I gave this when I was a scholar in residence in Los Angeles, in London. So I've gotten to talk to some different communities and see what they have to think about this. So when I was in LA, someone told me, so I, first I'll say what I suggested, then I'll say what he said, and then I'll weigh in a little bit on what I feel right now. So I said that while it could be that it might change nowadays, right? You could say that, look, it's one thing to hear from somebody with a letter, but if you're in contact with people constantly on FaceTime, so then what's the difference? What's the difference if you talk to them in person or you talk to them on Zoom? Who cares? It's the exact same thing. And therefore, if you've been talking to each other, you've been in contact face to face, so then, even the Aruch HaShulchan would agree that you don't say the bracha of Sheikh Hayana. But I don't think that's right. And if you look for a moment at number 9, this is Rabbi Avadya Yosef on why he thinks that we paskin like the Aruch HaShulchan, that we rule like the Aruch HaShulchan. And he says, responding to those poskim, like the Mishnah Berurah, who think that Sheikh Hayana and Mechayim Eitim are the same. He says, Ulam, b'mechila kvot harato, lo dak shapir. I got it. With all due respect, he wasn't careful. If you look carefully into the Acharonim Yashar, they argue about Mechayim Meitim. And there are some poskim who even say Mechayim Meitim, you say nowadays. But I'll leave that on the side for now. But when it comes to the Bracha of Sheikh Hayanu, Afal Pishakibel Mimenu Michtavim, even if you heard from him, everyone would agree you have to say Sheikh Hayanu. When you see him after 30 days, because hearing is not the same as seeing. For for the excitement and emotional animation that one gets when he sees his friend face to face is with much greater power and strength. And Rabbi Avadya argues that the reason you still say Shechianu when you were in contact is because you didn't see them face to face, and there's something different about that experience. Now you could still argue, as Miriam commented before, but maybe that's different because now we have Zoom, and now we have Skype, and now we have FaceTime, and now we have WhatsApp video, and now we can talk to people face to face all the time. So maybe, even if it's true with letters, and even if it's true with emails, and even if it's true with the phone, nowadays you would not say the Bracha of Shechayanu after seeing someone for the first time in 30 days if you've been in contact with some medium where you see the person face to face. And this person in Los Angeles suggested that for some people it's even better. Like certain people, they don't like being social. They like it better if they don't have to see people in person. And when I was talking it over with Rabbi Aryeh Klapper, he said, look, it could be that we've entered into a period of a complete paradigm shift where the way we experience relationships and communication is so fundamentally different that of course these brachot don't apply anymore. Because we simply, all the literature in Psak could not even have imagined the reality that we have where communication was instant and you could talk to people and see them on your phone at all times. So maybe you would just have to argue that nowadays the world has changed and we don't value or feel the same joy in face-to-face encounters that we once did. So Shechayanu isn't warranted. So I had this on the back burner in my mind for a while. Because maybe they were right. Maybe they were right. Until 10 days ago. Okay, until 10 days ago. Right? Sometimes it takes a complete shake-up of your experience to weigh in on just the way we experience life. So 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, I tell you, maybe there is no difference between seeing people in person and seeing them on Skype and Zoom and whatever. Maybe nowadays, if you've been talking to people constantly, so you don't make the bracha of Shechayanu because there isn't that same joy when you see them for the first time. I didn't think it was right. My proof was very simple. My counter was as follows. I said, look, which person are you more likely to get together with in person when you hear they're in town? The person that you don't bother talking to daily on Skype and Zoom and FaceTime, or the person who you do? The person who you do. Because that's the person you're closer to, and therefore you want to see them in person. Why? If you really thought that seeing their face on FaceTime was the same as seeing it in person, then the person you want to get together with is the person you ever talked to. But we all know that's not true. The people that we're more likely to get together in person with are the people we talk to more. We're the people we're in contact with more. Which means that psychologically we think that in person is different than FaceTime. But okay, I still, in the back of my mind, wasn't sure. And then, as I said, 2 weeks ago, the world started shutting down. And we're all stuck in our houses. And all the people that we normally see on a day-to-day basis, we don't see. That can be family, that can be friends, that can be students, that can be people in shul, that can be people in school, that can be people at the simchot you thought you were going to. All those people... Yes, I agree. Okay, David sent me a private comment here, but I agree with it completely, and I'll say this now, right? Suddenly, right, everybody realized that we actually like in-person relationships. And even though the internet around the world is crashing, because the entire world is on Zoom, the entire world is having Zoom minyanim, and Zoom shiurim, and Zoom kabbalat shabbat, and Zoom work meetings and Zoom chavrutot and Zoom games. My son was playing a card game with a friend of his over Zoom. We have Zoom everything. We see everybody. In fact, we've probably seen more of our friends and family in the last 2 weeks on Zoom and Skype than we've seen in person in a long time, because we see everybody. And yet, if you go on Facebook or you talk to people, people feel lonely and they feel isolated and they can't wait for this to be over because they want to get out of the house. And suddenly they realize that all those things they took for granted and they maybe even thought they didn't like, they like. Right? Suddenly all the people who thought they didn't like shul, suddenly they want to go to shul. Right? Someone sent a WhatsApp on one of my groups today that a son asked his father, "Abba, how long have you had the coronavirus for?" Said, "What do you mean?" Well, he said, "It's you never go to shul. You always daven at home." Right? But even people who don't like going to shul, they go just on Shabbat, suddenly, right, they go to shul because of a feeling of obligation. They didn't really like it. Suddenly, the rabbis close the shul, we tell you to go home, and suddenly everyone realizes, you know, there was something about shul I liked. I liked being there with people, even the people I don't like, even the people who sing off key, even the people, we like it. We like going to shul, we like seeing people. And suddenly, I think that this experience has shaken us all for a moment, because we've just experienced, as someone just texted, right, messaged me, we're at some level experiencing a sort of dystopia, right? We are fully capable of communicating with everybody, but not in person. So, how does it feel? Is everyone happy? Everyone loves it? Everyone feels like they're fully in contact with the whole world? And they couldn't care less of how long this goes on. They don't care to see anybody in person. They don't care to see their family. They don't care to go to shul. They don't care to go to restaurants. There might be people out there who are like breathing a sigh of relief. They don't have to see anyone in person. But from what I've seen from people's response is that suddenly we realize that we thought we had moved to a point where face-to-face contact didn't mean what it once meant. We thought that we could replace that with FaceTime and Skype and Zoom. But suddenly, we're forced for a week, 2 weeks. Hopefully it's almost over, but I don't know. Right? I don't know. In Israel, hopefully it's almost over. We're following the trajectory of Taiwan. Hopefully it'll be over in a week or two. By Pesach, life will be somewhat back to normal, I hope. But suddenly we all realized, hey, a lot has changed, but a lot hasn't. You know what? Rabbi Avadya is really right. It's not the same to talk to our friends and family on Skype and FaceTime. It just isn't. We like being in people's... We like being around people. We just do. Right? Even the social distancing. Right? Even when they were just telling people, you can be around people, but don't shake hands. It was weird. It was weird. Right? Everyone walking around, keeping like a 6-foot distance from each other. You know, going to supermarkets and everyone's like looking over their shoulder. It's like, I don't know if you remember the game Assassin, right? Where everybody, like, everyone is tasked with someone they have to kill and like they have to be alone in a room or look at them when no one else is looking and assassinate them. So you're always looking over your shoulder because maybe that person is tasked with killing you. But that's like how it is in every supermarket, right? You go around like maybe that person has the coronavirus and everyone's like staying as far away from each other. Even that feels so odd because we're just used to and we like having people around. And I think, at least for me, that this experience has convinced me that Rav Avadya is right and nothing has changed. Mechayim Eitim, I admit, it's changed. Most of my friends, I have no doubt, if I haven't heard from them in a year, 5 years, 10 years, unless I've heard otherwise, I think they're fine. I don't know, maybe I don't know what they're up to in life, I don't know what they're working as, if I've fallen out of contact, but I don't think they're dead unless I've heard otherwise. So I wouldn't make Mechayim Eitim. But Shecheyanu, who can honestly say after this experience that they're not actually going to feel an experience of joy that's worth making a bracha on, that's worth thanking God for, when this is over and they can suddenly see everybody again? Right? I think, at least me, I think that I am going to feel that joy. I am going to feel something that warrants a tefillah, thanking God and saying, thank you for this ability to go back to normal life where the way I interact with people and with friends is in person. Because this has been weird. Right? I feel like I'm working harder than I ever do, and I have not left my house. Because when I'm in yeshiva with my guys, I don't need to give shir every day. Right? If my guys are learning well, b'chavrusa, so the fact that I'm just around, I can ask them a question, I can see how they're doing. So we've had, you know, we're in the same room, we're in the same midrash, so I'll give shir tomorrow. And now, the only way I contact them is if I have a planned shir and a planned chavruta. I want life to go back to normal. And that deserves a bracha. And I think that the bracha of Shecheyanu both captures, on the one hand, and instructs on the other. It both captures the reality that face-to-face contact is something that can't be replaced no matter how good technology gets. And I think more than that, it instructs us that we should remember that. That there is value to friendship in person. And I would hope, if nothing else, that this experience has reminded people of that. That they actually like friendship and human interaction face-to-face. And that you can't just replace that by sitting in your independent houses. We can mimic it. We can do our best. But I think for most people, it's still not the same. And therefore, to say Shecheyanu and to capture the uniqueness of face-to-face friendships is, I think, very valuable and something that we can hope for by the end of this insanity. Now, there are halacha l'masa. I've already made my position clear. At the end of this, I will say the bracha. I think we paskin like the Aruch HaShulchan. I think we paskin like a Rav Avadya. And I'm pretty comfortable saying that this experience has taught me that nothing has changed. There are technical reasons not to make the bracha. Safik brachot l'hakel, that by doubts of bracha, you don't make the bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a very bin adam l'chaveiro reason not to make this bracha, which is that it's clear that you only make this a bracha if you really feel joy. So he says, you know, the problem is that everyone, if this is a bracha that is in people's repertoire, you know, that can get offensive. Because, you know, you say it for one person, and then the person next to him is, hey, what about me? And you're like, you know, you, I'm not so excited. I could have done without you, right? It can be an offensive bracha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, maybe we should avoid it. Okay, fine. But fundamentally, even if you want to say it without Hashem's name or whatever you want to do, I think that recognizing that we've all come to feel that, I think, I can speak for myself and for everybody whose Facebook post I've seen attesting to this fact. For anyone who feels by the end of this that they've learned that nothing quite replaces face-to-face friendship, then when it's over and you see your friends again, you see your family again, I think it's worthwhile saying Shecheyanu. You want to say it without Hashem's name? Say it without Hashem's name. But at least to give a nod with religious expression to the fact that we value the gift of face-to-face friendships and interactions, I think that's something worthwhile. Right? And I think there'll be something powerful if the bayit's still closed, right? Elaine, the bayit is still closed. If the first time, if nothing else, when they come back, right, at the beginning of his drasha, Rabbi Karofkin gets up and says, Baruch Shecheyanu v'kiimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh, it's good to see everybody. You know, and this just was not the same, that even though I saw, he gave a Motei Shabbos kumzitz from his house on Zoom, I saw, but still, you know, to acknowledge that we actually enjoy being around other people and that God wants us to, and He has, and Chazal formulated language so that we don't end up in this dystopian reality where we think we can replace real friendship with every means of technological communication we can come up with. I think that's something that, if nothing else, that this experience has taught us from, and if we don't learn from that, I think we've lost an opportunity, because, you know, if we don't learn from hard experiences, then the only memory we'll have of them is, thank God, that is past and hopefully never happens again. But if we can use it as an opportunity to reflect on what we have normally, and what we value normally, and what we should value normally, so then at least, as some measure of solace, we'll have learned something about ourselves going forward, and we'll learn to value those relationships. So I put in a short Facebook post recently about this. I said, I've been convinced by this experience that by the end, I will say, Shehecheyanu b'sheim u'malchut. And in the meantime, I pray that that moment where we can see people in person and the travel restrictions are lifted and everyone who can't go and see their family can go see them, I pray that that day comes soon. So these are my thoughts on the experience, and I hope at least gives you something to think about and reflect on. And, you know, my guess is that most people here fundamentally agree. If you don't, right, if at the end you disagree with me and you still think that, no, we've gotten to the point technologically where I don't feel like I'm missing anything by talking to people on Zoom, then please reach out to me and let me know, because if there are other voices, I want to know. But my feeling is that this experience has taught us that we're not there, right? We really do miss seeing people in person, and that's a good thing, and Halacha has language for that. And at least we can learn from this experience and appreciate it next time. You know, when we're in shul and, you know, there's that person next to us that we really didn't like in shul and we don't like how they daven. You know what? There's just, hopefully we'll enjoy that frustration again when we can get to that point. Anyway, so those are my thoughts in light of this experience. And like I said, I pray that that this ends sooner rather than later. I will share the Mekorot. Someone asked me for the Mekorot. I will happily share the Mekorot. You know what? Let me do this now. So I wrote a version of this in long form last year. So I'm going to message this to everybody. So at least, if not the Mekorot sheet, you also have a write-up of the theoretical material here. So I just chatted that out to everybody. This was the second article in my series on Halacha in the Age of Social Media. I'll send out a Mekorot sheet for people who want, but the summary of it is there. Okay? Anyways, well, thank you to Torah in Motion for organizing. Like I said, even though I think that nothing can replace face-to-face friendship, I'm glad that this gave me an opportunity to somewhat reconnect to all my friends in Toronto. It is good to see you, even like this. But it is good to see you, and I hope, you know, I'm just looking down at all the people who are here. It is good to see all of you, and I hope that, you know, at some point I'll get to see you in person, and we can reconnect as is appropriate. In the meantime, thank you. Thank you, Reich Hellman.
John, Rev Jonathan, when you send me the source sheet, I'll post it on our website also. Go with
okay,
the
fine.
On the website so people can download it from there. I want to thank you for the shiur, and really, it's like you say, I totally agree. There's this, we appreciate things when we don't have them, and we look forward to be able to hugging people and whatever, welcoming people in person. And thank you, and thank you to everybody. We have a shiur tonight, 8:30, Dr. Dan Reinhold on Introduction to Medieval Jewish Philosophy. He's a professor. He teaches at Yeshiva University, and he's a visiting professor at the University of Toronto this semester.